There is a lot happening simultaneously inside American politics right now, and most of it centers on three overlapping pressure points: the administration's posture on elections and voting integrity, the ongoing Epstein files fallout, and some increasingly visible cracks within the Republican coalition heading into the November midterms. Let's work through each. Thursday night, Trump delivered a primetime address focused on election integrity, specifically ordering the FBI to reopen what multiple federal courts and the Department of Justice's own findings have labeled a debunked Michigan voter fraud case. He declassified election documents and pushed Congress to pass the Save America Act before the midterms. The notable story isn't just the content, it's the broadcast decisions. ABC and NBC declined to carry the speech on their main channels. CBS and MSNBC cut away during the address. Fox News and Newsmax carried it in full.
Network decisions about whether to air presidential addresses carry real weight. And the editorial calculus here is complicated. On one hand, networks have a public interest obligation to carry major presidential statements. On the other, news organizations have begun weighing whether live, uninterrupted broadcast of speeches that contain demonstrably false claims constitutes a public disservice. The fact that multiple networks made similar decisions on the same night suggests coordinated editorial thinking, which will itself become a political story, and already has.
The Washington Post Ipsos poll released Thursday gives you the political context for why the administration is so focused on the electoral integrity message. 61% disapproval, with specific dissatisfaction focused on Trump's handling of the Iran conflict and the economy. That is a significant number, 11 months out from midterm elections. Republican candidates in swing districts are watching these numbers very carefully, and it explains some of the internal friction we're seeing.
On which note, Senator Tom Tillis, the retiring North Carolina Republican, has vowed to stall the Save America Act in the Senate. His argument is substantive. He's saying voter ID legislation simply cannot be implemented operationally before the 2026 midterms, so rushing it through is performative rather than functional. He's also threatening to slow reconciliation efforts more broadly. Tillis, being a retiring senator, matters because he has significantly less political exposure than colleagues facing re-election. He can afford to break with the party on procedural grounds.
Then there's the Supreme Court angle. The Trump v. Slaughter ruling, which overturned 91 years of protections for independent agency leaders, has already had a downstream effect. Fired officials who were challenging their removal in court are now dropping those lawsuits because the legal landscape has fundamentally shifted against them. The practical consequence is a dramatic consolidation of presidential removal power over the regulatory state. Over 50 House Democrats responded this week by formally demanding answers on Schedule F reclassifications, which is the mechanism that would allow mass reclassification of career civil servants to a category where they can be dismissed without cause.
The Epstein threat is its own thing entirely, and it's genuinely complicated. Vice President Vance made news this week claiming Epstein had ties to U.S. and Israeli intelligence, a significant statement from a sitting VP, while also saying the administration screwed up the rollout of the Epstein files and blaming former AG Pam Bondi. Acting AG Todd Blanche met with Epstein survivors Thursday, a meeting that had been demanded by Senator Tillis as a precondition for his support of Blanche's confirmation. The survivors described Blanche as abrasive and noncommittal. That's not a description that smooths his path to confirmation.
The internal Democratic fault lines are worth noting, too. Nancy Pelosi went on the record this week criticizing progressive candidates who are primarying incumbent Democrats ahead of the midterms. She characterized them as socialist candidates threatening the party's coalition. This is the establishment versus insurgent tension that has been building since 2022, now becoming explicit and public. Meanwhile, Senator John Fetterman warned he'd leave the Democratic Party over its stance on Israel, which, given the Gaza conflict backdrop, represents a genuine ideological rupture at the edges of the coalition. And Kamala Harris drew backlash for calling for an independent probe into a fatal ICE shooting in Maine, with critics arguing the statement reopens wounds around her own immigration record as vice president.
The DHS claim that 256,000 non-citizens may be registered to vote across four states also deserves a sentence or two. Previous DHS and state audits have consistently found that non-citizen voter registration, while it does occur, involves individuals who often registered accidentally and rarely vote. The 256,000 figure, absent state-by-state methodology details, should be treated skeptically. The political purpose of the claim is clear in the context of the primetime address and the Save America Act push.
And there's one more piece here, the WSJ report on $782 million in what it's calling mystery money flowing to Trump-allied groups. That's a significant investigative finding with potential campaign finance implications. The Senate unanimously, and that word is doing real work here, because unanimous Senate votes on anything are genuinely rare, passed a non-binding resolution opposing any pardon for Sam Bankman-Fried. That's a signal to the White House that any clemency consideration for the convicted FTX founder would face bipartisan institutional resistance.